This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here, the second hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. Last hour, we talked about hunting and the Maryland DNR's deer population management report that just came out last week. We reviewed some of our positions as the Maryland Hunting Coalition on that. And now we want to talk to Mary Groves. Good morning, Mary. How are you?
Fine.
Good. What's up? We're going to talk about catfish, aren't we? Where do you want to start? We have too many of them.
Well, we do have too many of them. That's for sure.
Yeah.
We're
focusing on, folks, blue catfish, which is an invasive species, and yes, flathead catfish, which is, well, we're not, have blue catfish been categorized as invasive? Okay.
Yes,
same way with flathead. Not indigenous to the area. They didn't grow up here. They were introduced a while back from wherever. And flatheads are more of a recent development. I don't remember flatheads showing up in Maryland up until about the last 10 years or so, something like that.
They were actually stocked in on the Virginia side of the Potomac River back in the 1970s in the Occoquan River area, or the Occoquan Bay.
How'd they get
in
Susquehanna?
There's still been a population there ever since the 1970s.
Okay.
But occasionally, you know, you would find one of these fish on out in the river. Probably about 10 years ago, a couple were caught in the upper Potomac River above Great Falls.
Right.
Fortunately for quite a while, you know, that was it. Sporadic,
yeah,
here and there, but unfortunately, in the last couple of years, our biologists on the upper Potomac, the Potomac is actually split into two. We have the upper Potomac above Great Falls, which is handled by one biologist,
right,
and then the tidal portion. I monitor that.
Yeah.
So we've got
John Mollican. He's been a guest on the show, and I've fished,
yeah,
with John. Yep.
Exactly. He's been fishing the Potomac, the upper Potomac. He's worked on it for quite a few years. But anyway, they have found, unfortunately, more flatheads up there in the last few years. So I don't know we have no way of knowing how those fish are getting there. Certainly, we don't believe that they're making their way up there through the canal system or anything. We don't know if the population has actually been reproducing or if somebody has been transferring those fish or what. But unfortunately, more have been found there, and we have found a good deal more on the Upper Bay,
yeah,
in probably the last 5 years or so. Most likely, those are coming down from the Susquehanna.
Are they in the Susquehanna in Pennsylvania and New York?
Yes, at least in the Pennsylvania portion. I'm not sure about New York.
Mm.
They are in the Pennsylvania portion. They're in the Conowingo Reservoir.
Right.
They're fairly well established on the Maryland side, on all the way down to the Upper Bay,
right,
Susquehanna Flats. We've found them in our surveys. I've been surveying up there for over 25 years. And
right.
And we didn't see them until just probably the last few years. And we're still not seeing a ton in our electrofishing samples,
right,
which is how we normally sample. But through our angler's log and you know, websites, you can see how many the anglers have been catching.
Right.
And the commercial watermen as well. So they're there.
Thank God for the commercial watermen on the blue catfish.
Mobile.
Say that again. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
They're not quite as mobile as blue catfish, and I think that's why you're not seeing the spread like we've seen with blue catfish.
Mm-hmm.
Flatheads tend to stay in one area as long as there's, or in the general area, as long as there's plenty of food. Of course, like any species, you're going to have a few that are moving out here and there, but
sure,
they generally aren't known to travel great distances unless they're starting to recolonize, and most of the time that's because their area has, you know, enough fish in it or there's not enough forage, so they'll move on out. Blue catfish, totally different animal.
Right.
I mean, those we've been working with Virginia Institute of Marine Sciences for the last 2 years on a tagging program, and we've found fish to travel over, blue catfish to travel over 35 miles in just a month. So
they're
highly mobile, and they
let me ask you, Mary. Okay, they're highly mobile, but will a blue catfish travel from the mouth of the Potomac across the bay to an eastern shore river?
I don't know if they will go in that direction. There is a salinity limit there. Unfortunately, that limit's a lot higher than we originally thought. If you look at any research from states that have blue catfish in their native populations, you know, generally they're saying, you know, they maximum amount of salinity is 14 parts per thousand salinity. And generally, you know, beyond that, they don't find them or just rarely find them. Virginia studies have found them up to 17 parts per thousand. And still, you know, that's a lot of times on a normal year, that's a good barrier. But, you know, all it takes for any fish, like snakehead or anything else, is for you to get, you know, a season of high flow, high freshwater inflow, then you can have those fish moving out into other areas. I really suspect myself that the fish that we've found, the blue catfish that we've found on the eastern shore, didn't go there on their own. That's just my personal opinion. We don't know that. There's really no way to track them. There's blue catfish now in the Pocomoke, Nanticoke, Choptank, those areas. I'd be surprised if they moved there on their own, but whether they were stocked by somebody deliberately, whether they came out of Delaware and moved around, it's hard to say.
This is not Mary speaking. This is Alan speaking. I suspect that although blue cats and flatheads, flatheads in particular, can't travel very well on their own, as you stated, throw a couple of those in a live well and dump them in your favorite fishing grounds, you know, on your way home from a tournament or just in general. Those flatheads can travel quite a distance in a live well of a boat that's being towed by a pickup truck.
Oh, that's certainly possible. I mean, it's highly probable, especially years ago when there wasn't this awareness, you know, that you shouldn't be moving fish from one region to another. I mean, there's been years and years where, you know, people commonly took largemouth bass from their favorite river that they were fishing, and they would bring home to their pond. That was a common practice.
Right.
Now, when you're talking about something like blue catfish, we've certainly known people that have, you know, wouldn't have a problem with just taking a fish and putting it in their pond. They didn't see the problem in it.
Right.
And what they don't realize a lot of times is that, especially if that pond is attached to a stream or whatever, that there's escapement. I mean, Virginia has acknowledged that that's probably how a lot of their tidal rivers, you know, ended up getting blue catfish in them too. We kind of suspect in one area in particular with northern snakeheads that that's what happened. Somebody stocked it in a pond, you get a flood, they come out of the pond. So that's why Maryland and other states now are really, really tightening up as far as making sure you have a stocking permit so that we know what you're stocking and where you're stocking, even on your private water, because people don't realize a lot of times that those fish can get out, you know, many different ways. So, yeah, I agree. I'm sure that they were, you know, some could have been moved around in live wells, buckets, whatever. Another problem that we had back in the 1990s that I'm aware of too is misidentification. You know, a lot of people, especially it's small catfish.
Right.
If you're not used to seeing small blue catfish and small channel catfish at the same time, it's easy to mistake them. Colors aren't quite fully developed. You can't really, even the anal fin, which is like a really dead giveaway for a blue catfish, are kind of hard to see. And unless you're really used to seeing thousands of these guys, sometimes you might have trouble identifying them. And I know we have one case years and years ago where the state had supplemented some of our stocking with catfish, and we got a load of channel catfish. And fortunately, we were, you know, bucketing these fish out, and we're looking, and we didn't have that many that we were stocking, and there were a couple blue catfish that were thrown in there that came from the hatchery where we ordered the fish. So we pulled those fish out. So I think it's, you know, there's many different ways that they can get in. There certainly, if somebody is moving the fish, we've tried to make it very, very clear, particularly in the last few years, that's illegal. It's not good. Please don't do it. Not only for the fact that it's spreading invasives, but even if it's not an invasive, even if it's just largemouth bass or something else like that, they can carry parasites or diseases that you don't want spread into other areas. And sometimes those diseases are pretty, you know, you can't tell that the fish has them. Might even be kind of benign for one species, but maybe sure. detrimental for another. So, you know, that's something that we really try to get that information out there, not to move the fish now.
Is there any administrative or statutory penalty for that?
For moving fish?
Yeah, for moving fish, especially fish that are considered to be invasive, like catfish and snakehead.
There's a $2,500 fine.
Really?
Yeah, for moving an invasive species, moving blue or flat egg catfish. There's a $2,500 fine for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you suspect somebody's moving these fish around, certainly call the DNR police hotline. It's on our website. It's in our freshwater fishing guide or whatever. But, if you suspect that somebody's doing it and they're doing it, you know, and you know who it is, you know, that's always helpful. I mean, we've had a fair amount of luck, at least with northern snakehead, with people who have either stocked them in their backyards or trying to produce them, or whether they're selling them or going to stock them. You know, we've had several instances where those people were held accountable for trying to move live fish. So, yep, it's definitely out there.
Got it. All right. Well, that's interesting because, you know, this is in the people that I talk to a lot of times and talk about these things. This is one of the things that they accuse people of. And, you know, the point is nobody's that I know of has ever been caught or prosecuted for doing just that. So whether it's a lack of awareness, a lack of enforcement, a lack of information on that particular subject, you know, we can beat that into the ground if you want to. But, you know, the word is just don't do it. If you don't know what you got, you know, kill it and eat it. If you know what you got, put it back.
I'm sorry.
If you know what you have and you don't want to keep it, throw it back where you caught it. Don't put it in a live well and haul it somewhere else and turn it loose.
And the same is true for your bait.
Exactly.
Don't release your bait. You never know what you've got in there, and as well, you know, it's coming from a bait dealer. You don't know what you're putting in the water. So the same goes, you know, that we say, you know, when you're finished with your bait, don't release it. You know, I mean, it's just so common for people to do that. You know, it's like, why waste the fish, you know, put it out there. But we ask that you don't do that as well. But this is definitely a serious problem as far as trying to contain the fish. Unfortunately, blue catfish in particular have spread quite a few areas. I mean, we've got them very well established in the Potomac River, of course, they've been there. We've got, fortunately, we've started seeing a good number of fish coming out through commercial interests. And years ago, they really weren't interested in blue catfish. You know, the idea was is that these guys, you know, they thrashed around. This is a story that we got years ago. That they weren't interested in harvesting blue catfish because a lot of their fish they were giving to live markets, and blue catfish thrash around a lot. Their spines on their fins are extremely sharp. I mean, they are on channels, too, that's true. But these guys just thrash around, really made a mess of things. So they said they weren't interested in it. But now the market is so much that these guys are selling to a processor, and the processor is selling it to the market.
Right.
And so they don't care if there's a few holes in these guys. They like the idea of we have a very good marketing gentleman for us that has, you know, provided opportunities for people to
Steve Vilnet. He's built that blue cat.
The markets are perfectly, you know, they love the meat. They love the way it tastes. It's very clean. So they don't, you know, they're not as caught up on aesthetics when they get a fish that has a scratch or whatever on its side. They're taking, you know, a certain size fish. Fillets are beautiful, and they're taking them. And we've more than doubled the number of fish that have come out of the river commercially harvested. We're hoping that increases as well. And on top of it, they like the idea that, okay, we're taking an invasive. You know,
right,
we're doing
sure.
something good here. So, you know, it's a win-win for whoever wants to eat blue catfish. They're not like your typical idea of a catfish is it's a bottom feeder scavenging on all sorts of,
this is an apex predator, isn't it?
Whatever. Blue catfish are they eat throughout the entire water column. I've never seen them, we've done hundreds, well, probably over thousands by now of fish. We do diet study on blue catfish as well. And, they're eating fish. When
oh,
they
sure.
get to a really nice edible size, 2-3 pounds or whatever, they're eating pretty much fish.
Sure.
Straight out. And so they're not, they're not bottom feeding. So they're eating off the entire water column.
Sure.
Nice clean, nice clean meat on it. It's a nice white meat. So
yep.
it's easy to market.
Sure.
As far as food goes. Same way with snakeheads.
Yep. Before we launch into snakeheads, we've got to take a commercial break.
Okay.
Hang on a minute. Let's see. Who do we want to talk about? Let's talk about Clyde's a little bit. Let's talk about Clyde's getting ready for fishing season. Fishing season's right around the corner, and people are getting geared up for that. People are fishing. They've got live bait year-round. All the new fishing stuff is in. They've got rods and reels. They got fresh line to put on your spools if you want. Head on down there and get ready to go. Get your license and, on one of these warmer days coming up, just get out there and enjoy yourself. There's plenty of fish out there. There's crappie and panfish biting now on the Eastern Shore. There's pickerel. There's trout in the Western Maryland streams. You get a day when the bank isn't frozen and you can get to the stream, you're going to have some fun. You're just going to have to slow down a little bit and fish a little smarter. But Clyde Sports Shop is the place to find anything and everything you need, including free advice on what to fish for and how to catch it. They have a 24-hour fishing hotline on their phone system. Nobody answers. It's just a recording. And you just call that number, 410-247-3474. It's easy to remember, 410-247-FISH. And they'll give you a weekly updated weekly fishing report on what's happening around the region. And if you need more information, you just stop by and say, where are they biting? And somebody will tell you. I mean, Jim, he's a great pan fisherman. He loves fishing for perch and crappies. And, sometimes you'll see somebody buying some bait and ask them where they're going. And they'll tell you, hey, I'm going to the Eastern Shore. I'm going to this stream. I'm going to Dorchester County. I'm going to this river system. Plenty of crappies, plenty of this, plenty of that. Just get out there and do it. And the way to do it is facilitate yourself at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, 410-242-6108. Website is clydesports.com. Check them out.
It's about family traditions, celebrating your passion for the outdoors. It's taking a tradition instilled in us when we were young and passing it on to our children. The Great American Outdoor Show, presented by Outdoor Channel, is back in Harrisburg, PA, February 7th through the 15th, with over 1,000 exhibitors representing everything outdoors, interactive exhibits, and celebrity experts on hunting and fishing. There's something for the whole family. Celebrate your passion by getting tickets at greatamericanoutdoorshow.org.
This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, spray-on bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners, with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer, blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie's new location is 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
The statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns. By donating your female deer, you could feed the hungry
hungry, and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus Junior Hunt Days drawings. Just donate your dough through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Stay connected. Listen on AM 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com.
New frequency detected.
I'll take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get a bite all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones, and mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade sitting in the shade.
All right, we're back with Mary Groves, and we're talking about invasive species. We talked about blue catfish a little bit, talked about flatheads, and you were starting to talk about snakeheads.
Yeah, basically, I was talking about, you know, one of the benefits of catching and killing these guys. Some people do not like to do that, but one thing that we've really tried to impress upon people is, you know, eat the fish. I mean, they're a wonderful fish to cook anyway. You know, a lot of
sure.
times you can only just fry fish, or,
sure.
or some people only like to broil. But snakeheads are pretty versatile. So, so again, it's along the same concept of, you know, these commercial guys pulling in bigger nets, bigger hauls with our blue catfish. You know, take the fish, we want it out of the water, and it's a great meal on top of it.
Are you making a difference with the increased commercial harvest and the education program? Are you making a difference in the population, Mary?
As far as
numbers of fish, sizes of
fish,
yeah.
side of it, because that population is actually still growing. I can honestly say, at least for my part, and I think the guys in Virginia probably would say the same thing, that I think we're seeing less northern snakehead, at least by my standards and my survey techniques. We have seen less northern snakeheads. There's definitely a huge draw on the bow fishing community
yeah.
to come down to the Potomac and fish for snakeheads. It's a great challenge for these guys. And they've done a good job at being pretty accurate. It's kind of amazing. I've not done it yet myself, but I think it's kind of
That's on the bucket list for this year for Alan. That's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool idea.
Yep.
But my husband and I have been talking about that. But yeah, I don't know if that's the main reason, you know, or if there's another biological reason as well. But I'm happy to not see the numbers increasing. There was a time, probably about 2006, 2007, when it, you know, the numbers just kept going up and
mm-hmm.
up and up. And anytime we would go out and survey for, you know, other fish species, you know, we would have no problem finding snakeheads.
Mm-hmm.
In the last 2 years, we've had requests for snakeheads for either like just the Talbot Marine Museum, different institutions that want to study them, whatever. So, well, you know, a lot of times we'll send them fish for study, not live ones. They're dead ones that we preserve. But, you know, it used to be, no problem, you know, we'll go out and we'll grab that for you. But that's not the case. You know, we've had to work a little bit harder to find them, which I'm glad to say that. Normally, you know, our goal is to go out and find fish, and when we've had a little bit more of a time finding them, and I'm pretty sure that the Virginia guys have been saying the same thing when they've been sampling, that they've, you know, they're not seeing as many as they used to be. So whatever reason, I certainly think that the angling, whichever technique is being used, definitely helps. And the fact that people have been able to get beyond the name snakehead, which seemed to be a really big roadblock for some people on eating those fish, once they've tasted it, you know, they've found that they're good to eat too. And that's really been kind of like another thing as far as Steve promoting is snakehead. And they're, you know, they're a pretty good demand. So commercially, they're hard to catch. You know, it's not like you can set a, you know, a net out and grab them like you can some of these other species. So they've been a little bit more of a challenge. But as far as angling and as far as like bow fishing goes, you know,
That's a pretty specialized deal. I mean, I know some of those guys are engaged in that, and it's a special boat with lights that attract the bait fish to the boat, and then you stand on deck with your bow and your bow fishing arrow, and the fish come in to feed on the minnows and fry that you've attracted, and you shoot them with the bow and arrow. It's pretty cool sport.
And a lot of these guys, they started off, they were basically gar hunters,
mm-hmm.
or carp. Mm-hmm. A lot of them had gone fishing the same way for gar and carp, and then, you know, they already had that equipment, so it took us a while. I mean, because originally when snakehead showed up, you know, they weren't listed as a species that you could bow fish for. And even though, you know, you think, oh, you've got an invasive species, go out there and get it with whatever way you can, mm-hmm. you still had to work within the law and get the law changed to add that to the list of gear that could be used. And basically, you know,
right.
that was a really kind of a no-brainer once we brought it up. But, you know, unless somebody comes to you and said, hey, can I bow fish for this, you know, on the Potomac River, and, you know, we had to look it up and had to go through the Potomac River Fisheries Commission and everybody
get everybody on the same page.
So that I was really happy to see that go through as quickly as it did. And these guys were already outfitted for it because they were using it for other fish. And they came down, found out it was a great way for fishing. And we've had guys coming from all over the country that will come here to fish just for snakeheads using that particular gear.
Yep.
So I'm glad that they really lend themselves, the way that they hunt, the way that they are, the way that they like sitting in the shallow waters. It made it easier for these guys to fish for them that way. And I, you know, like I said, I'm sure that has had something to do with the population. I'm glad to see the numbers, at least what we're finding, going down.
Exactly.
We'll hope that keeps going.
Gotcha. That's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
All right. Hang on there, Mary. Hang on. Time for another break. So just hang in there, and we'll get right back to you here shortly. Now through January 31st, 2015, Marylanders who have not bought an annual non-title or title fishing license since 2011 will automatically enjoy a 50% discount on their fishing license purchase. That's right. Announcing the Welcome Back to Fishing program, sponsored by Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service. It's as simple as logging into the DNR Compass licensing system, or if you want to visit a DNR service center or tackle shop to buy your license, the discount is automatic, but only through January 31st, 2015. That's the end of this month. The promotion is designed to encourage anglers to return to Maryland waters and enjoy the excellent fishing the state has to offer. And let me throw in right now, the Maryland Fishing Challenge is a part of that, and we'll be promoting that all year. Fishing is one of the best values in life, promoting quality time in nature with friends and family. And if you catch a 200-pound blue catfish, Mary will be very happy with you, and you will have fillets for the rest of the year. For a limited time, the already low cost of entry is just 50% better. Welcome back to fishing. www.dnr.maryland.gov. Hey, let me tell you about Blaze and Camo Day. It's the first Hunters Rally in Annapolis. Coming up on Thursday, February 5th, 2015, from 9 to 11 a.m. in Annapolis. We're going to meet at the State House, and here's how we're going to do that. All hunters and trappers in Maryland are invited. We want to let our elected officials of the 2015 General Assembly know that hunters are 100,000 strong. that hunters contribute over $266 million to Maryland's economy, that hunting in Maryland equals 4,500 jobs in Maryland, and that as hunters and trappers, we are united. We invite you to join us. Parking will be at the Naval Academy parking lot. Be there at 8:30. We'll walk to the State House. We'll greet lawmakers as they enter the session. We may even greet them when they come out of the morning session. We hunt and we vote. Now, we ask you to wear your blaze orange cap and your camouflage. Absolutely no firearms, knives, bows, arrows, or anything like that. And a photo ID is required to enter any state government buildings in Annapolis. So, you need your photo ID. No pocket knives. They'll take it for a while. You will have to go through the metal detection system, and if you need to use the restroom, it's probably good to have your photo ID if you're going into the state building. So if you'd like to learn more, go to www.mdhuntingcoalition.org. You can download the flyer and share it with your friends, or you can call us. Call me if you like, 410-382-9481. Email info@mdhuntingcoalition.org.
After a dry start to this weekend, there will be some changes tomorrow. Low pressure system will be moving up along the coast, and that's going to mean some wet weather as we wrap up the weekend. Today, though, clear as we start off the morning. It will be colder with a high only around 35 this afternoon, and the clouds will increase tonight with a low down to 30. You'll need the umbrella heading out on Sunday with showers into the afternoon. Expect a high around 42. That rain will move out tomorrow night with a low down to 31, and clearing will take place into Monday with a high reaching 41. I'm Jeff Maher from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, waterfowlers. Yeah, okay, you had a lot of fun shooting those ducks and geese, and now what do you do with them? Well, you can take them home and get all icky if you want, make sure they're breasted out just right, make sure they're the way you want them, or you can drop them off at Chesapeake Outdoors and say, pluck this and pick that and breast that out, and they'll do anything and everything that you would like to have done to your waterfowl. They'll pluck your ducks, they'll pick your geese, they'll breast out your geese, whatever you want. They'll handle it. First choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers is Chesapeake Outdoors. They're located on Kent Island. That's Route 50, exit 39B, Dominion Road. And they're standing by to pluck your duck. That's for sure. Now, they do have the largest selection of waterfowl calls in the area. You can try those out, all major brands. They've got clothing and boots from folks like Under Armour and Drake. They've got Bigfoot and Avery decoys, firearms, bows and crossbows, Bubba Blade knives, and everything you need for the upcoming fishing season. Chesapeake Outdoors. 604-2500, 410-604-2500. Put that in your contacts list. Stop by Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road on Kent Island. You'll be glad you stopped by Chesapeake Outdoors.
Hunters, you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Your favorite talk radio station is now on your iPhone. Go to the App Store and download the new WCBM app. Listen to your favorite host or program. Stimulating talk, breaking news, now on your iPhone.
Making a living in New York.
that back up, Dragon. All right, let's go. Let's talk. We're talking with Mary Groves, and we got Chris on the Eastern Shore. Oh, did I dump Mary? Uh-oh. Mary, you're going to have to call us back. What's that? Well, Chris had a question for Mary, I'm sure. Chris, did you have a question for Mary?
Yeah, actually, it's Kirk from the Eastern Shore.
Oh, okay, Kirk. Sorry about that. What's
I had a question about the fish consumption advisories. I've got a couple of friends, Dave and Pete, and they go to the Potomac, and they love to get those catfish and carp, and they eat them.
Okay.
And you look at the DNR website or the Maryland Department of Environment website with their fish advisory.
That'd be the Maryland Department of the Environment.
Department of Environment, right. They have the fish consumption advisories on there. So I wanted to ask your guests, you know,
are they safe to eat
catfish in there? Because I know the consumption limit on the channel catfish in the Potomac is pretty low.
Right.
So I don't recall seeing anything about the blue catfish in there.
All right. Well, hang on a minute. I dumped Mary off the line, and I think she's calling right. back. Do we have her? Do we have her back, Bethany? No, we don't have her. Okay. That was my fault, but I can start on that until we get Mary back. I think she's calling in now. I think what she's going to tell you that any of those warnings have to do with, I believe, mercury and heavy metals and things like that, right?
Right.
Okay. Mary, are you back with us? Mary?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Kirk on the Eastern Shores has a question about consumption of catfish out of the Potomac. He's looking at the MDE consumption advisories, and he has friends that love to catch catfish and eat them. So
right.
I just started to go there and talking about the, you know, the mercury or whatever, the levels that they warn about being primarily found in the fat structure of the fish. Do you want to pick it up from there?
Yeah. If you like he's done already, you can go to the MDE website, the Maryland Department of Environment website. We have links to that up on our DNR website as well. And it'll tell you what the consumption rates are that are safe for blue catfish and any other species that are in the Chesapeake Bay tributaries or freshwater. Basically, over 30 inches, you know, we recommend that you avoid fish. And then as it goes down from there, there's different categories, 12 to 15 inches, 15, 24, 24 to 30. And there's a general population and then some tighter restrictions for women and children most of the time. Now, for blue catfish, they're fairly pretty much the same.
Right.
For women and children and the general population, which is good. What I recommend to anybody, and I do this myself, I have kids that love to eat fish, is no matter what the species, I always take that dark strip off the
side. Absolutely.
That's the section that carries, you know, most of the fat. There's an idea that that may possibly be the area of highest concentration. That's actually being tested now by MDE, but we don't have the results back on blue catfish yet.
The
hope would be that, you know, if you remove that the rest of the meat, you know, that consumption might even be able to be increased. But, you know, that remains to be seen. They have the samples in hand right now. But for any fish species, I recommend that anyway.
Sure,
you know,
I do that with
like
this.
That fishy taste? I don't, but
I don't either.
Take that out. That takes a lot of the fat, the area where we believe a lot of those toxins concentrate, and it, you know, takes a lot of that real strong fishy flavor out anyway.
Well, the fat is concentrated mostly in the belly,
right?
Along that lateral line, that dark strip of meat that you talk about, and on any fish, I fillet that off. My fillets don't look like fillets a lot of times; they look like fish strips, and then. Mm-hmm. Right around where the fins enter the body, there are fatty deposits there.
Right.
Usually, if you fillet a fish, you get rid of that. If you cook a whole fish, take that area around the fins out. It doesn't affect anything. Just slice around the fins, pull them, pop them out, and it's pretty easy to do. And then I don't like to consume the belly meat myself. And then that dark meat, I take that off my salmon in the restaurant. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
I do too. I do too. That's just a natural for me. I grew up on trout a lot when
sure.
I was younger, and
me too.
You know, we took that off. But I in blue catfish, it's so easy to do.
Sure.
Like I said, it's not only for taste, but it also probably is just better off to get rid of that. I don't know how much more time we have, but there was something I wanted to bring up as far as the Maryland Fishing Challenge.
Yeah.
If people aren't aware of that, there's a special category for invasive fish.
Sure.
And so they're drawn just totally separately as well. And there's three ways that you can enter. It's either by angler award, which, if you're not familiar with that, there's a list of fish species and a minimum size. If you catch a fish of that size, take a picture of it or bring it into a certification center. But
right.
If it's a fish that you can release, and in this case for the invasives you can't, you can always take a picture on a ruler or whatever. But you'll get an award for that, a state record. Of course, you get an award for that too. There's a little bit more in-depth certification for that. A biologist has to
sure.
actually physically go and identify the fish and stuff, but there's ways that you can do that. There's a phone number you can call on our website, and then through the angler log you could just take a picture of your fish. This is for the invasive fish. You could just take a picture of it. All three ways the fish has to be killed, but in September when we have our big angler awards for this year-long competition, there is a special section just for the invasive fish.
Gotcha.
And again, all they have to be killed for those.
Sure.
But for other species, you don't necessarily have to do that. There's
right.
Instructions, fairly easy instructions on our website. So it's a good way of helping us to get rid of a problem and also possibly getting an award out of it too. It's fun.
Sure.
If you've never been to the Fishing Challenge drawing, lately it's been held at the Seafood Festival.
I've been there.
It's a lot of fun.
All right. Hey, you have a caller on the line here, Mary, and then we'll have to take our final break of the day. Good morning,
okay.
Dale. How are you?
Good morning, Captain Allen. How are you?
I'm good, Captain Dale.
Mary, that was a real nice gift you gave Don.
I'm sorry, I can hardly hear him.
That was a real nice gift you gave Don Monday.
Oh, I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, had fun making that for him.
Yeah. Alan, we just pulled up to the blind. So,
all right. Got some birds circling, do you?
Not yet. I was wanting to ask Mary, how far up the bay have you found blue catfish? Because I talked to Paul a couple days ago, and they actually have picked them up in the trawl in the upper bay. And I didn't know whether you all had heard of anything else up that way or not.
Yeah, we have found them up the head of the bay. Yeah, we found them up as far as the northeast Susquehanna. I'm sure they're at the mouth of the Elk. I believe that we haven't found any as far down as Sassafras, but you know, that's only with our sampling, and you know, it's kind of specialized in the way that we
right,
do things.
Right.
I have had angler reports of finding them in the bush in the Patapsco, but we've not found them using our gear quite yet.
Yeah,
so,
they're here and they're not going away, are they, Mary?
No. So that's why we need to get a good handle and help them get them out of there. And hopefully we would have the same results that we've had with some of our other species
sure.
to get these the fish numbers reduced.
Okay, Mary and Dale. Dale, good luck today on the geese.
All right, I'll talk to you later, Alan.
You got it, buddy. Thanks. There goes Dale. Mary, hang on. We'll take our final break, and then we'll have a few minutes for closing comments. How's that? Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, your headquarters for fishing and hunting right here in Baltimore. I go there all the time. I like that shop. I visit a lot of shops. But I'll tell you, if I'm looking for a Browning firearm, I go to Clyde Sports Shop. No question about it. They're close to me, so I get live bait there. They're not that far away. So, I mean, it's convenient from just about anybody because they're located right off the Beltway. Exit 9 Hammonds Ferry Road, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne is where you'll find them. But if you need anything to get ready for fishing, if you're going fishing and you need some bait, if you're going hunting, waterfowl hunting, you need a box of shells, you need something to keep your hands warm, they've got everything for every type of hunting and every type of fishing. That's all I can say about Clyde Sports Shop. Visit him online at Clydesports.com if you want, or visit him in person right there at the store. The phone numbers are 410-242-6108, 242-6108, or the fishing hotline is 410-247-FISH, 247-3474 for the 24-hour fishing report. Clyde Sports Shop, we love them, you will too.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, new location, 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800.
The Great American Outdoor Show, presented by Outdoor Channel, is back and bigger than ever. It's 9 action-packed days, February 7th to the 15th in Harrisburg, PA. That's 9 days of hunting, fishing, boating, and archery. 9 days of ATVs, gear, and guns. 9 days of interactive exhibits and celebrity seminars on hunting and fishing. And a rockin' country concert with Lee Rice and Thompson Square. Celebrate your passion at the Great American Outdoor Show. Get your tickets now at greatamericanoutdoorshow.org.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything. Their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Stay connected with the latest news at the top of the hour. Then talk about it on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com.
Talking with Mary Groves. We're talking about invasive species, blue catfish, flathead catfish, and snakeheads. Nasty snakeheads. Are they going to make a movie, Mary, about giant blue catfish that have somehow gotten some toxic waste in their system and they've grown, you know, green,
I'm sure they will.
Green and red spines?
The, there's been a newer snakehead movie that came out here not too long ago, and I'm like, you know, there was a frenzy of them for a while there when snakeheads first came
out,
and they kind of died down. So
I like the ones
flew. One of these. Hopefully we won't see the 143 ton like they did down in Virginia. That's a big fish. I mean, that'd be, you know, a huge guy to pull in. But I think it'll only take one or two times of somebody to see a fish like that.
Yeah, we'll have that. We'll have that guy from Animal Planet on here. What's his name that does the fishing show? Jeffrey somebody.
Oh, I know Jeremy.
That guy. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember his last name.
Yes.
But I know who you're talking about.
Could this
monsters,
be the could,
river
could
monsters.
Yeah, river monsters. Could this be
there
the place?
You go.
Could this
yeah,
be
he's
the
actually,
place?
He's done some on northern snakehead or at least snakehead before.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't seen any for noodling or big catfish yet.
Well, I think he did do a noodling show, but I'm not sure. But I want him to come to the Potomac and, you know, could this be the place? Could this be the victim? Could this be where the victim went overboard and was eaten by this giant blue catfish? What do you think? You know?
Huh?
Yeah. They found the bass fisherman's body washed up in Mattawoman Creek.
Yeah.
Bite marks all across his chest. It's going to be me? Yeah. I'll play the part of the victim. Yeah, I can float well. Why not?
There you go.
All right. Just having a little fun there, Mary. But look, it's a problem that's not going away. You're not going to solve it overnight.
No.
You've got a lot of factors in play here. It is a popular tournament fish, the blue cat and the flathead catfish. Not quite as popular as bass fishing, but it's got some problems affiliated with that. And we're not pointing any fingers, but we're just cautioning people, please don't relocate these things for the health of the environment. For, you know, the health of other species that other people like to fish for. I mean, these things eat white perch and shad and herring and everything else. And, you guys are doing everything you can do to control the spread and control the population except for the human element in that. So.
That's one of the big differences between trying to manage for these invasive catfish and the snakeheads. You didn't have the element of people who would actually like to see them here.
Right.
I mean, almost everybody universally said, no, we don't want snakeheads here. You know.
When I first moved to Maryland in the early 80s, the big thing was bowfin.
Yeah.
Kill all the bowfin.
Yeah. It's interesting because we didn't actually, I've been working here now, it's 27 years, but all that time I never saw a bowfin until the snakeheads. And the thing was is that they looked so much like northern snakehead.
Right.
Unfortunately, and we had, the policy where, sure, we want you to kill the fish. Unfortunately, a couple folks had brought in bowfin,
yep,
thinking that they had northern snakehead, and it's like, no!
Yeah, yeah, you know the difference. I'll tell you, I've caught two bowfin. I've caught two bowfins in fresh water.
Really important for folks that go out there just to really, really... You know, get a really good idea of what fish are out there and what you've got, because it's an understandable mistake of all the fish that people are using.
Yep.
A bowfin makes sense.
You're right. Listen, we got to go. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. Appreciate you joining us this morning. That went fast. Talk to you soon. All right. Get out. Stay out. Stay safe. See you next week.